Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman, and I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national PR firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's very special guest is workplace violence expert Robert D. Sollers, who has more than 30 years in the security field and has written a book titled One is Too Many, Recognizing and Preventing Workplace Violence. So today we'll be discussing the signs of workplace violence and what you can do if you recognize them. So welcome, Robert.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. And first of all, how do you define workplace violence? I mean, is it only the stories we see on the news, there are shootings happening, and so on and so forth, the stuff that makes the headlines across the country, or are there other incidences that are maybe smaller in scope but still have the same type of detrimental consequences?
Well, in that case, you are absolutely right, Stacey. It is, obviously, we're going to see on the news mass shootings no matter where they occur, like we did in St. Louis a month or so ago, where the boss shot his employees or whatever, and, you know, other instances like that. However, The instances that you rarely ever see on the news are those that occur that don't have anybody get hurt. And those are the ones that account for all of the incidents that I keep track of. I like to say that workplace violence can hit anybody at any time for any reason, anywhere, even away from work. And there have been instances now, where it has happened away from the job site as well.
Now, Robert, what do you mean by workplace violence that doesn't result in anybody being hurt?
Well, things such as threats, for instance. If somebody comes and either gives you a verbal threat, a written threat, or they make a bomb threat into your business. Even a hoax such as that, if it's detrimental to or intimidates the employees, then it is a workplace violence incident. And we all have seen the instances, that the videos that have gone viral of store clerks at a convenience store where they are just literally getting verbally dressed down by a customer. That is also, a verbal assault is also considered workplace violence.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Just like when you, you know, just abuse in general in life. I mean, you have physical abuse, but you also have emotional abuse, verbal abuse. So, you know, that definitely makes sense to me in terms of the number of incidences. And of course, the hurt and pain and the consequences of those actions, too. Now, how many people a year are actually impacted by all of these collective workplace violence incidences?
Well, in this case, it really depends on whose statistics you're going to listen to and believe. The government has several sets of statistics which don't agree with each other. I have a tendency to believe the study that came out of the University of South Florida back in 2005, which basically states that, and again, the employment numbers have changed dramatically since then, but they said at that time that 50%, roughly 75 million people a year, are bullied, harassed, threatened, or assaulted at work. And 15 million, or 10%, were either had a verbal or physical assault while they were at work. So, you know, the numbers are, in my opinion, are quite high, and they are supported by the statistics that I see and I read all the time.
Well, sure. I mean, that, and if you kind of extrapolate the ripple effect of all of that out, right? I mean, you got 10% of your workforce that is actually being assaulted in one way or another, and 50% of it that is experiencing some form of it, and that's going to have a huge impact on productivity, emotional well-being, and all of those things. And obviously that impacts, you know, a family and their individual lives, and it impacts the economy. It impacts healthcare costs. There's so many things that workplace violence attributes to.
Yes, it is. It, I mean, it's out there. And Another one of the statistics that I've seen is after a deadly incident or a violent incident, such as, you know, gunfire in the business, mm-hmm. it takes anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks for a company to get back up to where their production is where it should be. You know, whether that be in an office, manufacturing, or whatever the case may be.
Well, I mean, I can totally believe that. And I'm actually surprised it's not even longer. You know, those types of situations are so traumatizing. Wow. Now, you talk about attitude and mm-hmm. how attitudes can encourage violence. So tell us a little bit about that and how some companies can actually, maybe without knowing, encourage an incident with this kind of attitude.
Well, the first attitude is, to me, is one of the biggest bugaboos that I have run across in my time, and it's called CHH, and it stands for Can't Happen Here. Too many companies, both C-level executives and managers, supervisors, even employees are saying, well, that happened there. It can't happen here.
Right.
And by saying that, you're, I don't want to say delusional, but you're fooling yourself into believing that either your company is so much better than everybody else's, or you treat your employees so much better, or what, you will never have an employee who will do something like that, or what, you know, any of the other people that could actually do something inside of your business that would be violent. And again, no matter what that may be, a verbal, a threat, or whatever. And the next attitude, which is also an acronym here, NIH, is what is called not invented here. Now, this to go along with the old style authoritarian management style, but there's still enough businesses out there that operate under that style, no matter what they may say, that there are no good ideas that are going to come up from the employee level. It all has to come from the top, the C-suite, the managers or supervisors, or it does, you know, there's no way it's going to work. It's just, you know, the frontline employees just don't have any good ideas to use. And therefore, employees will end up being frustrated with that and do whatever they need to do, especially in this economy when they can't be guaranteed of finding another job right off the bat.
Right.
Another one is stereotyping. And, you know, it doesn't matter how well-rounded we are or that we try to view everybody in the same light, we are all going to stereotype somebody. If you see somebody... excuse me, walking down the street with a white cane and they're kind of wobbling side to side, you're going to think that they're just, you know, a herky-jerky blind person coming down the street, okay? If you mm-hmm. see somebody in a wheelchair, well, there's certain things they can't do. And it's true. There are certain things that some people can't do, but others are very good at doing what they do. It doesn't matter what their disability or anything may be. And the same thing applies to somebody who's not disabled. If you have a late teen, early 20 something in your business, and he comes in and they, you know, their jeans are ripped, the grunge look from 20 years ago. Let's put it that way.
Right. Sure.
You may think that they're not going to be motivated. They're not going to do you a good job. Well, you know, that's a stereotype. They may be the best employee you've ever had. They just don't necessarily take care of themselves all that well. You know, their clothes, mm-hmm. that is. Mm-hmm. So, and another one is, disparate treatment. And this is where the term I coined well over 20 years ago, perception is reality, comes in. If one employee perceives that another employee is being treated differently than what they were for the same thing, then that's going to be their reality. Whether it's true or not, it's not the point. It's what they're perceiving to be. And sometimes it's real that one employee gets treated better than another for whatever reason, but mm-hmm. if the one employee perceives it, you know, there you go. And then,
right.
of course, you know, there's, and it just all snowballs into all that stuff.
Yeah, so Robert, I mean, that's a lot of, you're exactly right. I mean, all of the ways that the corporate environment can feed mm-hmm. into this stuff, you know, they can make a difference, and it can also be harmful as well. Now,
right.
we're running out of time, so to wrap
okay.
up our conversation, Robert, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, some of the signs that they need to look out for that someone may be about
okay.
to snap, or there are different things that could be happening, and then what they should do.
Well, in my book, there's 21 different warning signs, And while it's not an all-inclusive list, it's the 21 that I have noticed over the last 20 years or so that are most prevalent.
Right.
And they include attendance problems, having trouble, poor relationship skills, mental health and illnesses, including depression. And the biggest one, which really wraps everything all up into one neat package, is if is any unusual or changed behavior within that employee. And, of course, everybody's going to change or be unusual at least once in a while. But if this continues, that's when you really have to start worrying about it.
Right, so erratic behavior.
Right.
You know, you don't have any consistency. Well,
right.
Robert, you've given us a lot of great information, and I know you have 21 warning signs. So you'll want to take a look and learn more from Robert and his seminar statistics, other security topics. You can go to his site, which is SolarSecurityShield.com, and I will go ahead and spell that for you, and that's www.SolarSecurityShield.com, the company Facebook page at Today's Training. And you can follow him on Twitter as well, at Robert Sollers, the number 2. And be sure to check out Robert's blog as well at Today's-Training.com, where he has mid-year update on workplace violence statistics, among much, much more information that could be useful to you. So thanks, Robert, for an informative interview.
Thanks, Stacey. I appreciate it.
Okay, great. This podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR and the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine, a diverse community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers that share helpful and perhaps even life-changing posts and podcasts. So please enjoy more on JenningsWire.com and discover bloggers that might be perfect for you. Until next time.